And that was powerful. Nothing but the blood. How many of you are thankful for the blood that Jesus shed on the cross? I want to tell you all how much I appreciate you, how much I love you. And many of you send an email and saying something about a sermon or saying encouraging words to me. And I just want you to know how much I appreciate it, what that means to me. And because I want you to know that I am totally in the journey, totally. And I am flawed in my humanity as anybody. Every once in a while, God reminds me that he's still working on me. My son, Will, he's six, and he's doing this play in the community. And so we're there for practice, and all these parents are there. Nobody knows who I am, you know. But they're doing the gingerbread man, and, you know, at the end, the gingerbread man gets eaten. And you guys, you're disappointed. The gingerbread man's been eaten. What are you going to do? And my six-year-old, I don't know what possessed him, he steps to the front, and there's all these people, and there's me, and he says, "I guess we'll go back to drinking beer." Apparently, a few people knew who I was, because while you should be laughing at what was said on the stage, people are looking at me. You know, on the way home, I said, "Will, you've never seen a beer as far as I know." I said, "You know, we don't drink beer." He goes, "I know, Dad, it gets you drunk." I said, "Will, who's told you about beer?" He said, "Oh, just my brother." He's eight, you know. And the Lord reminds me in so many ways that I'm in the journey, but I want to share with you, really, I want to share with you from my heart tonight. And if you were here last Wednesday, you may feel like I'm preaching the exact same message. And all I can say is that maybe that's just because we all need to hear it again. But I want to tell you this. There have been a few moments in my life where I know that I was right where God wanted me to be. You ever been in that place? That you were right where God wanted you to be, and you knew it. Now, come on. Talk to me. How many of you have been in that place? Even if it was for a moment, I'm going to tell you that that becomes the driver of your life when you've stood in that moment. And you've known that God's hand is on you. And you know that God is using you, and you're convinced in that moment that God has a plan for your life. You are convinced. You hear the words of Scripture saying that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And that excites me, that God is faithful to complete the work that he's begun in me. And that is so freeing, and that is so relieving. And when I'm blowing it, and when I've missed it, and when I wonder if God's there or if God's given up, I remember being there in that moment when I was right where God wanted me to be, where his favor was shining on me, where his hand was on me, and I knew it, and I long to be in that place, right where God wants me to be. Last week, the challenge was to give him your life. To give him your life. I meet so many people, and you know, I have the opportunity. When you're a pastor, people come to counsel with you, and you know, my wife just says, I can't believe people come to you for advice. I said, "Well, honey, I've got many profound things to say about marriage," and you know, she was, "Just tell me one." I'm sure I told you that the last church I was at, it was the first opportunity we ever had to go to a marriage retreat. And I remember coming home and say, "Honey, guess what? We're going to the marriage retreat." And she goes, "Oh, that is all. I am so excited. We've never been. That'll be awesome. Who's speaking?" I said, "Well, actually, I'm going to be talking this." She goes, "You're kidding." She goes, "What are you going to say about marriage?" I said, "Depends if you go." You know, so I'm in the journey. I mean, listen. I'm struggling in the journey. I want to be everything that God wants me to be. And I don't want to miss a moment of what God has for me. I really don't. Because I want you to know God has such incredible things for you. But I'm going to tell you, because some of you might say, well, where are they? Where is it? I want you to know. That's why God gives us so many things and tells us so many things about how we should live our lives. And whenever I have the opportunity, I'll talk about marriage. And one thing that always comes up when you're talking about marriage is I meet so many couples who had sex before they were married. And I want you to know, man, that is a dangerous road. And whenever I talk about that, I always see these young guys. And right in the middle of the sermon, you can see him lean over and say something to the girl. And I imagine that guy is first of all, hates my guts, because that night, it's probably not going to be a good night because I've talked about sex. God created it only for marriage within the context of marriage. If you're not married, don't have sex. And all the guys are like, I hate this guy. And I always have somebody tell me, especially some guy will be like, man, here's the deal, man. In the Bible, they didn't have a piece of paper. We're married in our hearts. And I heard a pastor say, and I thought it was so awesome. I said, man, you're not married in your heart. You're married in your pants. You're not married in your hearts, and we have these discussions, and I want you to know these things. God tells us to live our lives a certain way for a reason. I won't say any more about that. I saw people covering the children's ears and all that, so here we go. God tells us these things so that there's a way that we should live our lives, and there's a way that we honor Him. We got this incredible message from Christ, and in John 17, I want you to listen to this. After Jesus has said this, He looked toward heaven and He prayed. This is the prayer of Jesus. He says, Father, the time has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You. For You granted Him authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to those You have given Him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I have brought You glory on earth by completing the work You gave Me to do. And now, Father, glorify Me in Your presence with the glory I had with You before the world began. And here's the model of the life of Jesus. He wanted to live in such a way that His Father would be pleased. And it must be the desire of our hearts to live our lives in such a way that God would be pleased. But I want, last week I was just really, it was kind of like just a heads up. And now I want to say that again this week, that if you're going to live your life for the glory of God, many people around you are not going to like it. It wasn't long after this that Jesus prayed this prayer, Father, glorify Me so that I may glorify You, that He hung on a cross. And if you're following Jesus, I want you to know there is a banquet table, there is a grand party that's coming, but before that, there's a cross. Because when Christ calls a person, He bids them come and die. And so this call to follow Jesus, it's unbelievable, it's relentless, it's radical, it's passionate, it's tough, it's glorious, it's joyful, it's full of pain, it's full of tears, and all these things. And I cling to this, that He who began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it. And listen, two things. He has a plan for you, and He will complete it. And for some of you here tonight, you know what the word is? Hang on. Hang on. I know it's tough right now. I know it looks bleak. I know it looks hopeless. But your life is not in your hands. Your life is in God's hands. And that's an incredible place to be. And that doesn't mean there's not going to be storms. And that doesn't mean there aren't going to be hard times. Listen to what Jesus says here. He says, Father, the time has come. What's the time? I mean, what's coming? What's around the corner that Jesus is referring to? This will be interactive tonight. We'll all talk together. The cross, the crucifixion, it's right around the corner. And Jesus says, Father, the time has come. Because Jesus knew a cross was coming. Now, everybody listen. I want you to know a cross is coming in your life. It's going to come. How could Jesus have avoided this cross? Disobedience. He could have avoided the cross by just being disobedient, not living his life for the glory of his Father. He could have bypassed the cross. Now that would have been horrific and horrendous for all of us, Jesus included. But thank God, he's the Son of God. He came, he knew exactly what he came for. But I want you to know, there is a cross coming if you're going to follow Jesus. And the only way to avoid that cross is to not live your life for the glory of God, whatever that means for you. Wherever you're at, hang on. Hang on. He knows where you are. He hasn't forgotten. He knows what's going on. It's not that he's oblivious to the world, but he has created you. He's created your life, and it is his desire to be glorified with the life that he's given you. And so Jesus said, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, because the cross is coming. And when it comes, Lord, I pray that you would be glorified. Jesus didn't say, I want to be a rock star. I want to rule everything. I want to do this for me, and I want posters, and I want all that. He didn't say that. He said, through this, I want you to be glorified. Listen, everybody look up here. Everybody look up here. God has a plan for your life. You're not here by mistake. You're not here by accident. He knew. Listen, you've already known God because he created you. The Bible says before you were in your mother's womb, he knew you. He knew you, and he knows what he's lined out for you. And he knows what's going to happen in this life. And he's saying, hang on. I know there's a cross coming. And if you live your life to miss the cross, then you will not live your life for the glory of God. I want you to hear this because, man, if I turn on the TV and I listen to some of these TV preachers, some of that stuff sounds really good. Sometimes I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, I wish it was like that. I wish it was just like total financial prosperity for following Jesus. Be a lot more people following him, all right? We wouldn't be in here tonight. Somebody came up and said, hey, do we need to set out chairs? I said, there are none. They're all gone, so we're going to have to squeeze in here together tonight. And sometimes I'm watching, I'm listening, and I'm not hearing the gospel, and I'm not hearing what it really means to follow Jesus, because like 10 of his most passionate followers, their lives were ended as martyrs. And don't you think they had a friend somewhere saying, dude, you're going to get killed. What are you doing? I remember one time, I grew up right by Kings Island. How many of you heard of Kings Island, big amusement park place? So like one of the fun things we used to do when I was in high school is we'd always go try to meet these girls who weren't from around there, you know? So our girlfriends wouldn't know it, you know? And so this school group was there, and so a bunch of these people invited us to come to their hotel to swim in the pool because they were with all their teachers and all that before all your gutter minds go somewhere else. And so we're sitting there with like these six girls at the pool, and in the distance I see this guy walking, and he's huge. He's just ripped. He looked like he's probably my age, but he looked like a professional bodybuilder. And I'm just looking at him thinking, man, that guy's ripped. And all of a sudden he sees me looking, and he goes, you got a problem? And I was 140 pounds when I was wet and had clothes on, you know. And all these people look at that guy, and then they all turn and look back at me. And I was like, no, do you? And he throws his towel down. He goes, by God, you're about to have one. And he starts coming at me. And it's like he was like back there at the soundboard, so I had some time to run or think or do something, you know. And the whole time he's coming, I'm just thinking, he's going to kill me in front of everybody. And like one of my friends is like, what are you doing? I was like, I do nothing. He's built. He shouldn't lift if you don't want people to look at him. He's like, you probably don't want guys looking at him. I was like, I wasn't looking at him like that. It's just he's big, you know. And so my buddy's like, you're going to get killed. And I imagine the disciples had friends who said, listen, this Jesus, he's nothing but trouble. Like you were doing good in the fishing industry. You're bringing in a lot of money. Things are going well. And then you drop the nets. You've been following this guy. And like he has to make food out of the air for you. Something's wrong with that. He's ripping off food from little kids and feeding everybody. Something's wrong with this guy. You're going to get killed. And I know I got to finish that story just because everybody's, nobody's going to ask about the glory of God. They're going to be like, so did you whoop him? Right before he got to me, my best friend, actually, he's like 6'2", just a big old stud of a guy. Right before that guy got to me, my friend just cold cocked him, knocked him into the pool. My friend jumps in the pool and there's this gigantic fight. And I was just looking for my shoes. I was like, man, there are my shoes around here somewhere. So that has nothing to do with the sermon. It's the last part. And you know there are people saying that. And some of you here tonight, you're discouraged. And you're like, man, I think I'm done following this guy. Because, first of all, I don't get to do all the things I want to do. How many of you had to quit doing some of the things you wanted to do? How many of you still want to do some of those things? The rest of you are liars. And so I don't get to act on my impulses. I don't get to act like an animal. I can't do all the things I want to do. I got to have some self-control. I've got to have some discipline. I've got to have some obedience because I want to follow this Jesus because I want to be with him for eternity. And I know what he has to offer me is way better than what anybody else can offer. And I want to follow him. And here's the thing. When I get discouraged, I think back to that moment when I was right where God wanted me to be. I was right where God wanted me to be. And I want to be in that place. And like one of the things that helped me get through college is every weekend I just traveled and preached at these churches. And like people like paid me to come and preach. It was this really bizarre thing. They'd take up a love offering, throw in a chicken leg, and I'd be on my way home. And it just was crazy. Well, I knew that's what God wanted me to do with my life. But you see, I went to Campbellsville. It was college back then. And to play football, because I wanted to play football, because I had dreams. I told the Lord, I'll reach people for you if I can go to the NFL, God. That's what God sounded like after I said that too. And so I was going to Campbell's to play football. It was exciting. I was a late bloomer. I told you I weighed 140 my senior year. That's true. And my first semester, I weighed 200. So you have freshman 15. It was freshman 50 for me, but I gained it all, my chest and shoulders. And I was so excited. I finally had the body I'd always wanted to play football with. I could hit somebody now, and I was excited to play. But I knew that's not what God wanted. But I wanted to play. The team was only 2 years old, so I'd probably actually get to play, you know, because everybody else stunk, right? Nobody was on scholarship, but it's not what God wanted. And so it was the hardest thing. I went and I turned in all the equipment and all that stuff. I said, Coach, this isn't what God wants me to do. And so every weekend I'd go, God would open the door for me to go preach at a youth rally or to church or somewhere like that. And I'd go, and I want you to know, like every Friday, everybody got together and I would be driving off to go preach somewhere. And there were times I said, you know, Lord, how about just a weekend off? Let me just hang out here, God. I'm tired. I don't even have enough gas money to get to wherever I'm going. I remember I had this car, and bless its heart, man. I mean, it had to be prayed over every time I got to leave. And I remember one time that this church called from Davenport, Iowa. And they wanted me to come and preach. And how they heard about me, I preached at this church while they were on vacation and they just happened to go. So this guy calls me from Davenport, Iowa. I don't even know where that is. And he wanted me to come. I was so excited. I remember calling home and saying, Mom, like somebody called from Davenport, Iowa. I'm going to preach there. She goes, no, you're not. That's too far. And I'm like 20. Like, excuse me? You're not going. I said, Mom, I'm going to go to Davenport. Ain't going to be a big deal. She starts crying on the phone. I mean, Mom's, that's not fair. That's not even fair, you know? And so I just remember, you know, I said, Mom, I'll make you a deal. Because my car had this Forever Bing in it. Everything I own has a Bing in it. All right, you can just ask my wife. She's like, have you fixed the ice maker yet? I was like, yeah, I looked at it. What'd you look at? The thing in the back, you know. And my mom and I said, Mom, I tell you what, if I go out and get my car to leave for Davenport and that Bing is still there, I won't go. I promise. And she goes, well, I'm gonna start praying. I said, what are you praying for, you know? And I'll never forget, you guys, it was just one of those moments. I go out and start that car, and it purred like a kitten. And I drove all the way to Davenport, Iowa. We preached this revival. It was incredible. And I came all the way back, and I was so excited. I ran in, called mom, told her what was going on, then I had some place to go. So I came back down, started. It's like, God is so incredible. And he wants you to follow him. And Jesus is saying here, there's one reason I'm going to live this life, and that's so that you'll be glorified. Because I want you to know, please, everybody hear this. God wants to take you to this place that's incredible. It's unbelievable. It's amazing. And Satan wants to knock you one step off of where God wants to take you. God is saying, hang on. Hang on. Because I'll be faithful. Hang on. Because I will lead you. Hang on, because I'll get you through this. Hang on. And Jesus' prayer was that God would be glorified. And he wants to take us someplace, some amazing place. And listen, I really want you to hear me, because my struggle with the message tonight was, how do I really convince you that there's this really unbelievable place? How do I really convince you of that tonight? Because, I mean, I've been to a few of those incredible places right where God had led me. And it was amazing. And I can't even describe it to you. And I wouldn't even tell you what all happened, because some of you may think, well, that ain't awesome. But God wants to take you someplace that's incredible. If you will live your life for his glory. And that means I don't get to live life on my terms anymore. I have to live life on God's terms. And I want you to know, I probably don't even have a clue yet what that means. But I've been to some incredible places. Because I know, man, one day I'll be preaching all these sermons about trusting God and following God and going wherever he leads. And I know one of my kids will come to me one day and say, Dad, I'm going to Africa. And I'm going to be like, no, you're not. You're not going. It's too far. So I don't even know how hard it's really going to get. I don't even know what crosses are before me. But you know what? I don't have to know that tonight. Because I know how great God is. And I know how incredible he is. And I know how faithful he is. And I know that he'll never let go. And I know that he always holds on. And I know that he is faithful. And that he who began a good work in me, he'll be faithful to complete it. I know that about God. No matter what crosses before me or what crosses are before me, please know if you follow Jesus, there's going to be a cross. And it's going to be difficult. But I want you to know, the Apostle Paul said, listen, what we're going through, our present sufferings, they're not even worth comparing to the glory that's going to be revealed to us in heaven. And I'm going to tell you this miraculous thing about God, and I'll close with this. Okay. In Hebrews 12:2, we're told, Jesus, it's this incredible picture of God. In Hebrews 12:2. It's an incredible picture of what happened before Jesus came. It's an incredible picture of what happens after Jesus has been resurrected. It's an incredible picture of the self-sufficiency of God. In Hebrews 12:2, I want you to hear this. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who for the joy set before him. What was the joy? Now listen, this is important. Because it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And that means, as Jesus said, it is worth going through. It's totally worth it. Whatever crosses before you, it is worth it. Because he says, it's for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross. That he was willing to go to the cross. That it would make it all worth it. What was the joy set before him? Let me tell you what it wasn't. The joy set before him wasn't that we could be saved and we could spend eternity with God in heaven. It wasn't that. Does everybody hear that? I really want you to hear that. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, because it was shameful. The Bible says, cursed is he who hangs on a tree. It was the most horrific death you could even imagine. But for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He went through that. So what was the joy? What was it? I mean, I got to know this. Because if that's what got Jesus through this, then that's what's going to get us through it. So for the joy set before him, here's what it is. The joy set before Jesus was this. It was incredible communion between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. God didn't need anything else. He didn't need you. He didn't need me. He didn't need a created earth. He didn't need any of that. Because He was perfectly self-sustained as demonstrated with the Trinity. He didn't need anything else. And so there's this unbelievable picture, relationship, communion, I like to call it, between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And it was beautiful. And part of the sacrifice of the cross was that Jesus left the Father. And He came to earth. And the Bible says He pitched His tents among us. That He became like me and He became like you. And finally on the cross, He took on the sin of the world. And we all like that phrase, the sin of the world, because guess what it might not mean? It means all those other sinners. But you know what that means? He took on your sin. And He took on my sin. He took it upon Himself. But the Bible says for the joy set before Him, He would do that. And the joy was that He would return to the Father. And once again, they would have that celebrated communion. And once again, they would have that dynamic, self-sufficient relationship. And you know what? Whatever cross is before you, don't focus on that. Focus on what is beyond. That one day you and I will spend eternity with God in heaven forever and ever and ever. And nothing on this earth will compare to that. Nothing. Nothing. And so tonight, He's bidding us to come and die. To come and lay down our lives, our desires, our wants, all those things. And you know what? That's a continual thing. How do we know that's continual? Because He says we have to take up our cross. How often? Daily. And so I'm going to close with this. I always hear motivational speakers and people like that say, you know, what kind of legacy are you going to leave? And how will people remember you? And you've got to leave your mark on this world, especially if you're younger. You're hearing that a lot. They say it in college. They say it all over the place. They say it on TV. You know, you got to leave your mark on this world. But I want you to know that that is a lie. Because Jesus has called us to come and die. And that means I'm going to lay down my life. And if I am carrying the cross, and if I've picked up the cross and I am carrying the cross daily, then at the end of my life, I want you to know as I'm carrying that cross, the mark of the cross wiped out every one of my footsteps. Every one of them. And so that at the end of my life, you won't know that I was ever here, but you'll know this. We have a great God. Because all that will be said of my life and all that will be left is the mark of the cross as I carried it. And He's bidding us to come and die. And some of you are struggling tonight, and I want you to know, when we struggle, our struggle is because we fail to understand what God has for us. Because if you knew what God had for you, now listen, I know it's tough. I know some of you are barely hanging on. I know that, and I'm not diminishing that, but I want you to know, if you really understood what God has for us, that's how you get through tough times. And that's how you get through difficulties. Isn't it weird? The way we get through the pain is to carry the cross. It's ironic, but it's true. And He's bidding us to come and die. To come and die. And so you know what the altar is tonight? A lot of us haven't died. A lot of us haven't died. And so tonight, you know, I'm going to ask us to come to the altar tonight and say, Lord, I want to die to myself and I want to live for You. I want to live for Your glory, God. And wherever You lead me, I'll follow. And whatever You ask, I'll give. And whatever Your desire is for my life, God, that's what I want. And maybe tonight for you, it'll be one of those moments when you stand right where God wants you. And it's incredible. It's phenomenal. But He's calling us to die. And He calls us to die so that we can live. Would you give Him your life? I mean, really? Would you forget about leaving your mark on the world and be willing to leave the mark of the cross? Would you really be willing to die? It's a tough call. It's a tough invitation. I mean, how do you get all excited about dying? But He's called us to die to ourselves. You know why? So that we may live the rest of this earthly life. So that He'd be glorified. So maybe you're here tonight and you're barely hanging on. Come to the altar tonight. come to the altar tonight. Say, Lord, I'm struggling. He already knows it. He already knows it. Just come. Some of you know that you've been kind of going through the motions, but you haven't really died. You've really wondered how you might leave your mark on the world, or you really thought that you could. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar tonight. And then here's the best thing. Some of you here tonight, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and I want you to know that He loves you. And I want you to know that not only did He take my sin on the cross, but He's willing to take yours. And you can be forgiven. And you can look to what God has for you. And He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus tonight, I would invite you to pray to Him and invite Him to come into your life, to repent, which means to turn from your sin and live a life towards Him. Ask Him to forgive you. And the Bible says He's faithful and just. He will forgive you. Would you really give Him your life tonight? Because you can't believe what He'll do with it. You can't believe what He'll do with it. And can I tell you one more thing? You will make more impact on this world by saying, I'm not going to worry about what kind of impact I'm going to make on the world. And He will take your life and He'll touch the world with it. Let's pray. This altar is open right now. I'm going to ask you to step out right now. Even before we stand, even before we sing. If you know you need to come to this altar tonight, would you just come now? Just get out of your seat and come. And Father, we pray that You would be glorified. We pray that You would be lifted up. We pray that You would take our lives. Wherever You would lead us, whatever You would have us do, God, take our lives. May we carry the cross. And may we go through the pain, through the difficulty, knowing that You're faithful. So Lord, we love You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing. This altar is open. You come now.